thank you so much for what you have said to us this morning. I thank you so much for the excitement in here this morning. I thank you for the encouragement, the edification, the exhortation that you've already given us this morning through brothers and sisters being led by your Spirit, Father. I thank you that it's now time to delve into your word. Time to delve into the scriptures. Time to plant some seeds into some eager hearts. So I thank you for the hearts that are here this morning. I thank you for the hearts that are watching online, watching later, listening later. Thank you for these seeds that we are about to plant, Father. Your breathed word. So we speak out understanding in line with your scripture. Understanding in the name of Jesus so that these seeds are not stolen. Understanding so that these seeds will get into the ground of our hearts, germinate and grow, and produce the fruit that we all desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I think I've said this to you guys before. Every time you read the word, every time you look at the Bible, pray that. Because the enemy doesn't want you having these seeds. He's going to come and try and steal them away. But if you understand it, he can't steal them. That's why I pray every time for understanding, so his seeds are not stolen. Amen. Hallelujah. Try and get this thing to stop buzzing. There we go. We are in lesson 6 of our series, God is Love. Looking at different aspects of the love of God, different words that I'm trying to use to describe the love of God. To help us to define that phrase, remember that we looked at 6 lessons ago, God is love. What does that mean? It's a bit difficult to interpret. So let's look at different things about his love and see if we can define that a little bit better. Words like creative and relational. I think they're some of my favourites so far. Love them. We were created to be in relationship with him. Why? Because that is what he desired. You need to think about that this morning and really get that into your noodle. That he created you because he wanted to be in relationship with you. Now, the great thing is, a relationship's a two-way street. So we get to be in relation with him. But he wanted to be in relationship with you. Created you as an individual. Awesome, that. Words like chesed. I was going to say it's one of my favourites. They're all going to be my favourites, Pauline. Another one of my favourites, chesed. Lovingly loyal. Loyal without condition. That's him towards us. He's loyal without condition. And we saw the picture of Ruth. We used Ruth to do a little bit of typology and point us towards Jesus. Words like inclusive yet personal. Me being Santa, remember? Every kid in the group came to me and got a prezi. But there's a much better picture in the Bible where Jesus ministered to every child within that group. And then there was one when he ministered all night, remember? Mm-hmm. To all the group individually. Awesome. Last week, what did we look at? I've typed in here, it's a viral truth. No, it's a vital truth, but hopefully it'll go viral. It's a vital truth that if a believer understands can change your walk with Jesus. And that word was unconditional. His love is unconditional. We've kind of spoken about that. Yeah. Simply and bluntly, like you said, Grant, that song. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, he still loves you. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to look today at another couple of words. But I'm going to do a bit of a summary, a bit of a revision, covering some of these words that we've looked at already. Revise and reinforce some of these descriptors. I'm going to look at an encounter that someone had with Jesus that is a picture of the love of God, the love of Jesus. It's an encounter that Jesus had that we spoke about weeks and weeks ago in a communion. Can't remember when it was. Guys, if you can get online to our online communions, come to that as well. Because we get some great stuff there. I get loads of stuff for the sermons. Amen. Try and get along. But we spoke about this little guy weeks and weeks ago in communion. And this encounter that he had with Jesus has been going on in my head for weeks now. And I can't get this chap out of my mind. Been meditating upon him since then. And I'm going to teach on that today. And it's an encounter that I could get a whole series of sermons on. You know, I mean, 10 verses. I could preach on that for a year. But I'm not going to. I'm going to just today. So turn with me to Luke 19. Luke 19, verse 1, and I'm going to read verse 1 to 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. Yeah, I love King James. Because he was little of stature. Amen. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he has gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Naughty Jesus. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Awesome. This is an encounter that I've been imagining for weeks now, seeing it in my head. It's an encounter that has depth to it. An encounter that we need to look at the context of the society. What is the society like in the day for us to understand how deep this is, what Jesus is doing? So many levels to it, but the level I want to look at today is about God's love, looking at Jesus. We know Jesus is the express image of the Father, Hebrews 1:3. We know Jesus can only do what he sees the Father do. That's John 5:19. So the characteristics that we see Jesus portraying here, we can take them and map them directly onto God the Father. Because he's the express image of the Father. He can only do what he sees the Father do. So if we see Jesus doing something, we know God does it. If we see Jesus not doing things, he doesn't do it. You know, I've got a degree in maths, Lee, not in English, okay? I've taught on this before. You know, we can, it's kind of going aside, but we can say things like, God doesn't make us sick, because how many people did Jesus make sick? None. He healed them all. So God's not schizophrenic. Amen. So look at the characteristics of Jesus, so we can pass them on to God the Father. So what are the characteristics that Jesus portrays here that we can put onto God the Father with regard to love? Well, let's look at what's happening. Jesus is walking through Jericho. It's a big city of the day. I saw one commentary that estimated it was about 120,000 people. That's a lot of people to pay tax. That's a lot of tax collectors. This guy's the chief. This guy's a big chief in Jericho, I think. Doesn't say that, but we can kind of... He's a small guy. Yeah, he's a small guy, Grant, but he's a big chief. Okay? So, what's happening? Zacchaeus, small guy, wanted to see Jesus. Climbed a tree to see him. Now, who was this guy? We need to know a little bit about him. It says a couple of things about him, and nothing is in the word that shouldn't be there, so we need to look at everything. It says he was chief among the publicans. And not only that, maybe someone worse, he was rich. We'll talk about that later. But it says he was chief among the publicans. That didn't mean he had a pub. That's a different meaning of the word today. He was head tax collector. He wasn't collecting taxes for the state that was there. He wasn't collecting taxes for his Jewish friends and rule. He was collecting taxes for the Romans. He would have been despised. Here's this Jewish man collecting taxes from his Jewish brothers for the Romans. So he's hated, he's despised by the rest of the Jewish population. And the way I see it, when I imagine it in my head, he was also a man that who could have been made fun of, who could have been laughed at. I'll explain why in a moment. But you know me, I like to imagine biblical scenes to try and understand them better. Help me, what's going on? So what did I see? So Zacchaeus, small chap, little stature. I love that. He's trying to see Jesus, but he can't. He's behind the crowds. Why is he not in the crowds? Why is he not at the front? Because everybody despises him. And he's not welcome in the crowds. So he's behind. That's where I saw him. He's behind, away from the crowds, jumping up and down. I'm trying to get this picture out of my head, but somebody on communion described him as an actor who was small. I'm not going to say that actor or you'll have him in your head, a bit like me. So I'm trying to get that picture out of my head, but here's this little guy jumping up and down at the back, trying to see Jesus, not wanting to go to the crowds because he's hated, because he's despised. So he climbs a tree, gains height so that Jesus can see him. And I think this is very brave. Because if he gains height to see Jesus, who else can see him? Everybody. Everybody else. So I saw him climbing the tree and I saw everybody. Everybody looking at him. And I saw people pointing and laughing. Look at that little fool. Look at that little man climbing the tree. What does he think he is? Is he a kid or something? What silly little man. Being made fun of. You know, the word says he was little. Deliberately says that. And we know human society. If you're short, if you're tall, if you're thin, if you're fat, if you're a different colour, if you're a different shape, you're made fun of, aren't you? So I see them making fun of him. What's the point in this? Zacchaeus is not afraid of making a fool of himself for Jesus. He wants to see Jesus, and he's going to do what it takes. And I love that. I love that about him. Behind Paul, then behind Caleb, I think Zacchaeus is going to be the guy I go and visit next. Once I've got the address list upstairs. Once I know where everybody stays. I want a few days with Paul. I want quite a time with Paul. I want some time with Caleb because he sounds like a blast. And then we'll go and see Zacchaeus. Amen. Where was I going with that? Yes, Zacchaeus, not afraid of making a fool for himself. What do I see? I see a man with a heart for the Lord. I see a man not sure how to meet Jesus. Not sure how to get to him, but he's aware of him. He's aware of his miracles. He's seeking to know more. And he's not afraid. Here's the thing. He's not afraid to put his head above the parapet. Quite literally. Put his head above the parapet. He's up there. He's out there to see and meet Jesus. And I think that's what Jesus saw. It's not what the people saw. They saw a little man making a fool of himself. They saw a little traitor, despised, hated, probably skimming off money off the top for himself. Kind of implies that later. You know, if I maybe took some money. Aye, right, you did. You know, so we'll talk about that in a moment. A despicable sinner, not just any old tax collector, but a top man. And he was wealthy. So there's going to be envy and jealousy directed at this guy as well. But the word says Jesus looked up and saw him. And Jesus came to the place, he looked up. Now we all love Greek, don't we? The Greek word for looking up is anablepo. And it doesn't mean tilting his head. It does partly. He physically, had to tilt his head or lift his eyes up to look. But this word means so much more. There's the implication of recovering sight. In a sense, the implication to look again or look twice. So physically Jesus looked up. But it's like he looked again. He looked twice. He looked inside this little fool. Jesus looked not just at the physical, but at the inward. He saw what everyone else didn't see. He looked twice. He saw a heart that was searching. He saw a man looking for something else. He saw a man looking for Jesus. Jesus looked and saw potential. He saw a man looking for relationship with him. And I love that. But what's this got to do about the love of God, Vic? Well, I'm getting to that, okay? So he's up a tree. Here's this sinner. And we've been told that. Here's this sinner up a tree. Despised. Jesus looks to him and says, come down. I want to come to your house. Actually, he says more than that. He says, I have to come to your house and eat with you. Now, if you know the context of that, if you know the society, I've preached on this before, guys. You know, back then, going to somebody's house and eating with them, it's not like going for a coffee with somebody. It's not like, let's just go and get a burger. There's no meaning to that to us today. You can go and have a coffee with someone, a burger with someone. There's no relationship. There's no intimacy. Well, you can, but not all the time. But see, back then, in the society of the day, for these Jewish people, Jesus was saying, Zacchaeus, he didn't see it, you sinner, come on down. I want to have an intimate relationship with you. That's what he's saying. No, he didn't, Vic. He said he just wants to go and eat in his house. No, that was the same thing. Going to eat in someone's house then was a sign of intimacy, was a sign of relationship, was a sign of respect, love possibly. You just didn't go and eat with anyone. You just didn't go around the table with anyone. It's not like we have today. You only ate, shared food, had that intimate relationship with people you loved, respected, cared for. And Jesus is saying that to Zacchaeus, come on down. So did anyone else get the prices right in their heads just then? Come on down. I want an intimate relationship with you. Awesome. It was an expression of love, an expression of respect. And it was huge. Why do we know it was huge? Because the Jews went off the deep end. Well, you might say, oh, they were just murmuring. Murmuring means a lot more than just blah, 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 blah. They were not happy. He was going to be the guest of a sinner. This guy's supposed to be a rabbi. Supposed to be a great teacher. He should know better. What is he thinking of? What is he doing? Why is he going to be with that sinner? Because in their eyes, he wasn't just associating with the sinner. He was sitting down with sin. He was associating himself with sin by going and sitting down with a sinner. This is really powerful. In their eyes, Jesus was partaking of his sin. And in that sense, this is a typology of the cross. Because you're only here today because he partake of your sin. Partake, partook, partaken, whatever, of your sin. At the cross, Jesus took our sin upon himself so we could partake in his salvation. What did he say to Zacchaeus after they'd been there at the house? Today, salvation has come to your house. That's a picture of the cross. Awesome. But what about his love? Okay. Look closely at what Jesus said to Zacchaeus. You guys know the order of things that happen in the Word is really important as well. So Luke 19, verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Go and give your money to the poor. Go and repent. Go and pay fourfold back to everybody that you owe. And then I'll come to your house. No, that's not what the Word says. Also, does it say, come down, maybe I'll come to your house if you fulfill certain conditions? No, it's, I must come to your house. His love is proactive. Jesus initiated this relationship. Yes, Zacchaeus was looking. Yes, he was searching. But Jesus came and said, come on then. I'm coming to your house. Back to a few words we've had before. His love is personal. His love is inclusive. No one is excluded. Zacchaeus, this dirty, rotten sinner, this chief of the publicans, was important as everyone else. Jesus loved him. Jesus wanted a relationship with him as much as anyone. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His love is unconditional. But this verse shows us it is not given based upon performance. It is not given based upon what we do. We've been singing about that all morning, guys. You have been singing that out all day. Do you believe it? That his love is not based on your performance. Some of us don't. Maybe subconsciously. Some of us still think, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to just for God to love me. No. No, we don't. His love is unconditional. Not given based upon performance. When up the tree, what was Zacchaeus? Tax collector, sinner, robber, cheat. And it was in that state, that condition, that Jesus said, come down, I have to be in intimate relationship with you. Now that's good. One amen. Hallelujah. That is good. That's powerful. In that state, what did we look at last week? While we were yet sinners, what did Christ do? Place demands on us. Ask us to repent. Tell us to be good boys and girls. No, died for us. Awesome. That is beautiful. And you might say, yeah, but Zacchaeus changed. He did give away half his money. He repaid fourfold for what he did. Yes, he did. But after Jesus came to his house, not before, not as a precondition, not as a prerequisite, after he came to his house, after he was in intimate relationship with Jesus. I said I wasn't going to be a shouty preacher, but I'm shouting in excitement. This is awesome. This is good news. This is almost too good to be true. Good news. It's awesome. Yes, he did change. He said, I'm going to give away half my money to the poor. That's good. 50%. That's great. Sorry? 50%. No, I was going to say someone else there, but I've held myself back. It was good. Well done, Vic. It's 50%. And then extra, repaid fourfold what he may have stolen. What he may have stolen. He did, but after Jesus came to his house, after Jesus showed him love, after Jesus met with him, after Jesus entered into relationship with him. You could say after salvation. And all these things are great, but they're not a prerequisite for salvation. Just believe. Amen. Jesus did not say, come down, Zacchaeus, you sinner. Now I want you to give away your money. I want you to repay every you cheated. Then we'll go and eat. No. No judgment. No condemnation. No mention of sin. Nothing. No mention of the S word. Just an expression of his love and an expression of his need for a relationship. Yet Jesus needed that relationship. He wanted that relationship. That's so powerful. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So the same is true for us, guys. That's awesome. New words for today. God's love is not condemning and it is not judgmental. He loves you irrespective of what you've done. Yeah, we're singing it. Grant pointed it out. Irrespective of what you've done, irrespective of what you're doing, and this is not a license, this is not an excuse, irrespective of what you're going to do. Oh man, that's freeing. He loves you irrespective of your performance, of our performance. Now, once we meet Jesus, you know, once we've seen his love and his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness, once we've understood how much he loves us, once we've understood how much he's forgiven us, that should change us. That brings an opportunity for change. That brings an opportunity for us to perform. But it's not a prerequisite. And we see this in the encounter. This is the big thing in the encounter with Jesus and Zacchaeus. He seeks Jesus. He meets Jesus. Jesus invites himself in for intimate relationship. Zacchaeus receives him joyfully. That's all you had to do. Yeah. Received him joyfully, and Jesus is in. And then what do we see? We see a heart change in Zacchaeus. Yes. After that, we see a heart change in Zacchaeus. After he received the love of Jesus, after he was in relationship with Jesus, we see Zacchaeus change his heart, change his mind, become generous, wants to give away half his money to the poor, also wants to pay everyone fourfold that he's wronged. So interesting. He's met Jesus in his house. Jesus talks about salvation. I see that as a picture of Jesus himself. I mean, Jesus is mercy and truth. Grace and truth, isn't he? Yeah. John 1:17, salvation is grace and truth. That's Jesus. Zacchaeus met grace that day. Zacchaeus met salvation that day. And what's really interesting with this regards to his money, it led him to do more than the law required. Led him to do more than the law required. The law didn't require him to give away half his money. The law didn't require him to give fourfold to folk he'd ripped off. But because of grace, because of Jesus Christ, he was led to do more. See, the law demands, and it's impossible to fulfill. But grace allows us to do more than is impossible to fulfill. I love that. Because of Jesus Christ. That just came into my head. I don't know if it's theologically correct. I might have to look into that later. But in terms of money for Zacchaeus, what would have been impossible for him to do before, if he was ordered to do under the law, because of Jesus and because of grace, he is now able, anointed, appointed, given the opportunity, the chance to do more. And that's the difference between law and grace. That's what I see in this fellowship. I don't preach law, but I see people giving more. It's awesome. Jesus, grace enables us to go further than the law requires. It's wonderful. In this encounter, we see Zacchaeus being led to repentance by what? By being screamed at that he's a dirty, rotten sinner? by have somebody on a street corner telling them to repent, turn or burn? No. Now, all that stuff is truth. But it's not the good news. It's not the good news. He was led to repentance by the goodness of God, by the love of Jesus. By meeting Jesus, by being in an intimate relationship with Jesus. And then he had his change of mind, his change of heart, his change of direction. You know what? This money means nothing to me now. No, give it to the poor. What a change of heart. Romans 2:6 reminds us, it is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. I love it. I've typed, it's the goodness of God that leads me to repentance. Yeah, but it's men to repentance. To a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of direction. That's what repentance is. And a new covenant repentance. And that's what we see in Zacchaeus. Change as a result of receiving love. Unconditional love. Personal, intimate love. Non-judgmental love. Non-condemning love. Seeing the goodness of Jesus, God's goodness, of being in relationship with Jesus. Awesome. We do not see change, performance, as a prerequisite for relationship. It's a result of relationship. We do not have to perform to be loved. Not with God, anyway. I spoke about human love last week. It's a wee bit different. Don't take human love and what it entails and transfer it onto God. No, look at the Bible and see about God's love. His love is personal, it's inclusive, it's unconditional, it doesn't judge, it doesn't condemn. Think of the woman taken in adultery. Another one of my great favourite encounters with Jesus. John 8, if you want to familiarise yourself with it. Just think back. Did Jesus say, go and sin no more, and I won't condemn you? No. What did he say? I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. He said, I don't condemn you. He gave her mercy. He gave her grace. He gave her forgiveness. He gives her love. And then suggests, go and sin no more. So I just love that. This woman was taken in the very act. She was a sinner. But he gives her love, mercy, compassion, forgiveness. No, I'm not going to condemn you. But you know what? It's probably better for your life on this earth if you don't sin anymore. That's what he's saying to us today. Yeah, sin's not good for us. It's not good for us, it's not good for the people around us, it's not good for our church family, it's just not good. But it doesn't mean God takes his love away from you. It doesn't mean God takes his acceptance away from you. God looks at us in the spirit, doesn't he? Awesome. Oh. I don't condemn you. He gave her mercy, grace, forgiveness first. Love, relationship, intimacy first. Then, performance. Performance, result of love, not prerequisite to love. That's the difference between law and grace. It's awesome. Change, repentance, living a different life comes as a result of his mercy, of knowing his mercy, knowing his love, knowing his grace, knowing his forgiveness. That's a wonderful message. That is a great truth. And that is a truth that can set you free this morning. If you believe it and understand it, can set you free from guilt and condemnation, from failure to perform. That's legalism. If you're suffering this morning, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do the next thing. Oh, I've just got to. And you fail. That leads to guilt and condemnation. That's law, that's legalism. If you understand, it's not about your performance. It's about his performance.
Amen.
That can set you free from that. It can set you free from the bondage of sin. Contrary to what some people say, it's not an excuse or a license to sin, the grace message. It's freedom from it. Because if we are focusing so much on the love of God and the love of Jesus and how much he's forgiven us, how much mercy he's given us, how much time he wants to put into relationship with us, if we're focusing on that, we've got no time to focus on that sin that we used to be into. You can't focus on too many things at the same time. If you're focusing on him, focusing on the Son, you can't be focusing on the sin. It's all about our emphasis. So that can set you free from that. No matter what you've done, is next up. I could have just sung that song. I won't. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants you to joyfully receive him this morning. No matter what you're doing. You know, Zacchaeus up the tree, he was still that sinner, still that tax collector. Jesus wanted him to joyfully receive him this morning, or that morning. It's the same for us this morning. He wants relationship. He wants intimacy. He wants to come and tarry at your house and come round the table and have a meal. That's awesome. Can I think with me? I know what Zacchaeus was like, but I know what I'm like. He wants to come and have a meal with me. Come and have intimate relationship with me. Yes, too right he does. Why? Because he created me for it. And because he's awesome. What, me or Jesus? Both. He wants relationship, he wants intimacy. He wants to express his love towards us this morning without any upfront expectations on us. No expectations on us. Come as we are. Was one of the songs said something about that? Take me as I am. Yeah. He does not judge. He does not condemn in his love. He does not demand performance. He's put in place a system that allows us to perform. He puts in place a system that means we can be anointed and appointed to perform. He's put in place, not the law, he's put in place laws that we can renew our mind and be transformed and change direction. But he does not reward us depending on our performance or our goodness. Yes, hopefully after you meet Jesus, you change. And I've seen people change. I've changed. Amen from my wife. She got in there before me. Guys, I've told you this before. If you want to have a testimony of what understanding the scriptures and mind renewal, how it changes a person, ask my wife. And be prepared for a long description of what he used to be like. And then, no. I've seen people change through understanding the word. Mind renewal. Transformation. But that's after you meet with a risen Christ. That's after we get into intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Performance is not a prerequisite to that relationship. Performance is a result because of that relationship, because of that love. His love is non-condemning. His love is non-judgmental. It is unconditional. It's personal. It's inclusive. But it's not a prerequisite to love and relationship. Guys, there's nothing you have done, nothing you're doing, nothing you can do in the future that will make him remove his love. It's constant, it's continuous. There's my words for next week, probably. Never ending, never changing. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Awesome.